VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk, and we trust today's program will certainly be an eye-opener for all of us. Each year that passes, there is a dramatic increase in the matter of global Christian persecution. Believers in Christ are being persecuted, they're being imprisoned, even killed. There are also attacks against the buildings that Christians use for the purposes of worship. Since 1992, Open Doors USA has been ranking the worst 50 countries in the world when it comes to the persecution of Christians. Joining us today as we seek to have our eyes open to know what is taking place, we welcome back David Curry. He is president and CEO of Open Doors USA. It's an organization devoted to serving persecuted believers around the world, and they have worked in the world's most oppressive and restrictive countries for Christians. David, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
Open Doors USA, you're not the new kid on the block when it comes to the persecuted church. Matter of fact, your ministry dates back to one known as Brother Andrew or God's Smuggler. For those listeners not familiar with Open Doors, just acquaint them a little bit here with your ministry.
Well, Andrew was a Dutchman who felt called to go behind the Iron Curtain smuggling Bibles, and that gave him unique insight into what was happening to the church back in those days in the Soviet Union. From there, of course, now we're in many countries around the world, those places where it's most difficult to practice your faith. We've expanded from Bible smuggling to whatever way we can to support and advocate for the persecuted church.
And so since 1992, as I mentioned at the outset, you've been producing what's known as the World Watch List, but give us a little bit of insight into this list. What exactly is it?
Well, the research really began many years ago as something that we used internally to try to figure out where are we going to spend our time and resources. And then we realized, nearly 25-some years ago that this had a value to others as well. And now, of course, governments use it and refer to it to help understand what's happening because it's grassroots. It's what's happening not from the political leaders, or even the religious leaders within a country, but from the very ground, so to speak, talking to pastors, individuals, where the incidents have happened, understand how many people, to the best of our ability, are in prison, are being harassed for their faith, maybe lost their life for their faith, how many churches have been attacked. So what you'll see in the World Watch List is what we can document. We know that this is just the baseline. There are many other things happening that we're not documenting, and so this is the tip of the iceberg.
Well, indeed, and if the things that you are documenting are alarming, I can't, it's just mind-boggling what really is going on in this regard. I saw a headline that your ministry used to present this year's watch list. You used the term surge of violence. Was that just an attention grabber, David, or do you really mean a surge of violence?
Well, for the last 7 years, we've really had a difficult time to try to explain to people each year in a different way how this continues to escalate. But the reality is the numbers are just very difficult. And so, yeah, there has been a surge of violence, and there's been a drop in the number of people killed, but that's because of some of the tactics that have changed in northern Nigeria and elsewhere. And it's meant more physical attacks, more violence, more attacks on churches. The violence is a significant issue on this year's World Watch List. Unfortunately, it continues to escalate as we see these issues erupt around the globe.
Were there any surprises to you? I mean, you have a handle on this. You've been doing it for many years. But was there anything that stood out to you as a kind of a surprise this year over previous years?
Well, here's one that doesn't make the news very often, but that is a surprise, and I'm sure we'll get around to talking about all the significant, major headlines,
right,
but
right.
A surprise would be Burkina Faso.
Mm-hmm.
Burkina Faso is on the African continent, and it's a country that wasn't even on the list in the top 50 last year, but what it signals is a very significant spreading problem with the terrorist group Boko Haram, which operates in northern Nigeria. You'd be familiar with it. Many of your listeners, I imagine, would be familiar with it. This is a group associated with Al-Qaeda and ISIS. They've been operating in the northern Sharia law states of northern Nigeria, and they have had major impact on the Christian populations there, who've either had to leave or some of them have been killed. So it's been a sense, I believe, a genocide in that area, intentionally pushing out or killing a population or group. Now, what Burkina Faso signals is that they're spreading their territory not just to Nigeria, but now they're attacking into the northern, northeast parts of Burkina Faso, into Niger and Cameroon, which they'd already done some of that before. But I think we have a very significant potential problem with Boko Haram, because all of these governments have something in common when you talk about Nigeria, Burkina Faso, Cameroon: ineffectual government, ineffectual civil protection. So these churches and pastors and individuals who are being attacked, they're not getting protected from the military in a significant way. That's why they're getting emboldened, the terrorists are emboldened to attack churches. So I think that's one of the surprises on the list today, something for people to pray about.
Yeah, indeed. And you mentioned Boko Haram, and I saw recently the Nigerian pastor who had been kidnapped, and they released a video showing his plea for help, but also one who had praised God even in the ransom video that was requested of him or demanded of him. And not too much later, though, he was beheaded after refusing to deny Christ. And it's not uncommon for this to be taking place, but how horrific is what is going on in some of these nations?
Well, these are the incidents we hear about. It's happening all too often, mm-hmm. right? It's more than just episodic. And this pastor, he's left behind, I think it's 9 children and his wife. But you're right, his testimony is strong. In that video that people can see of his discussion of to the government, he talks about the ineffectual, and just very discouraging to see how the government of Nigeria has responded to these incidents around the world. So I want to put a lot of pressure when I'm here right now in Washington, D.C., putting a lot of pressure on making sure that people know that the Nigerian government, while they try to say the right things, they're just not stepping up and protecting these Christian communities.
Now, when you talk about applying pressure, who is that directed toward?
Well, we talk to everybody we possibly can. That includes those at the White House, the State Department, the Nigerian government itself. So anybody and everybody in high levels of policymaking that we can talk to. And of course, we have had great support from the White House on this issue. We're not political actors. We take this a la carte. If it's Republican or Democrat, we are thankful for their support. And on that basis, we can definitely say that the Vice President and others in the White House have been super helpful to raise this issue of Nigeria.
We're going to be looking at a number of nations here. David Curry, by the way, is with us today, President and CEO of Open Doors USA. They have released recently the 2020 World Watch List, in which they have ranked countries, the top 50 as far as leaders of Christian persecution. And we'll be looking at some of those top nations in particular, but I would like to go a little further down on your list to China. January of 2019, your list saw China had jumped 16 spots over the 2018 rankings, and now in 2020, China has jumped ahead another 4 spots to number 23 on your list this year. I'd like to ask you, David, is there any other country that has jumped so many spots in 2 years like China? And then we want to learn what's happening in China that has propelled it to such an increase in persecution.
Well, it is a big mover in the last 24 months, and it's particularly problematic because there are just so many Christians affected by the issues there. Over 100 million Christians in China. So you can imagine when there's a lot of pressure, it's affecting many, many people. So China is, in my mind, the most troubling story. Now, that's maybe surprising considering that it's only 23rd on the list, but it's the way they're persecuting, the technologies they're using, that I think what I've called a roadmap or a blueprint of the future of persecution against Christians.
Let's talk about that technology that's being used against Christians there. What's happening?
Well, the government has control of all of the surveillance cameras in the country. So when we're here in America and you see a camera in a store or whatever, that's maybe owned by Target or Walmart or whatever, and then on the street you might see a traffic camera that's making sure you don't speed. Imagine a country where there are billions of cameras watching everything you do, but they're also in the controlling the cameras inside the churches now. So they're forcing churches, Three Self or the Chinese official church, to take surveillance cameras, not to record the sermon, but to record and to watch the people sitting in church. This was something we noted last year, but I've gone to China. I was just returned right before Christmas and saw it for myself. And then they're closing down and putting pressure on, you might say, house churches or underground, what was formerly called underground churches, mm-hmm. to either put the cameras in there or to shut down. What it's meant is a massive surveillance on attendance in Christian churches. And then the rules that they've added saying nobody under the age of 18 can go into church, and then adding a social score where now they're saying if you bring your kids to church, that's a deduction on your civil score. You may be limited in your travel and so forth. So it's a cascading effect of pressuring and basically ranking Christian behavior, church attendance, whether you take your kids to Sunday school, as a negative thing, which is going to affect your education, could affect your travel, could affect your income and your job.
So this is really amazing, because people go to church and the cameras are then facing the congregants, so to speak. But you're saying this is all part of a social credit system in the country?
That's right. And in 2020, they're bringing these systems all together. They had a social credit system. They had a surveillance system. Now these things work together. You might say, well, how would that work if Jim or David were going to church? Do you have to have individuals watching your behavior? They have a very sophisticated artificial intelligence system, so they can just punch in, hey, let's see where Jim is going, mm-hmm. and pull it up and say, he's been to church 5 times. What? He's going to the midweek service now. Look at that. He's bringing his child with him. And that's all part of your score. This is happening. It's not just to Christians. It's happening to the Uyghur Muslims in the northwest part of China. In those cases, and in some unique cases, they're even using facial recognition to get into church. This is a very significant thing. You see pieces of it talked about in the New York Times. It's talked about what's happening to the Uyghur Muslims and elsewhere. But it's going to be the major story here in the decade to come.
Wow. Wow, and employing all these systems to come together, folks, that is the real danger of this, with the government having control over all these surveillance systems. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with some further information pertaining to China. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is helium so much lighter than the other gases?
Chris, helium is lighter because it's a smaller atom, far smaller than any other gas except hydrogen. There's a very interesting lesson we can learn from this. We know how many atoms of helium are out there from direct observation. We also know how fast helium is produced below the Earth's surface and how fast it enters the atmosphere. By doing simple division, we can see that all of the helium that's in the atmosphere would get here in a rather short period of time, far too short to have allowed for evolution to occur. Once again, Chris, we see that the scientific evidence supports the biblical way of thinking and not the evolution way of thinking. Back to Genesis wins again.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. David Curry is our guest today. We're talking about the World Watch List 2020. It's been released recently, talking about Christian persecution and their rank of countries as they have had conversation. They follow news stories. They know what's going on in these nations in which they serve to monitor Christian persecution. It's on the rise significantly. And David Curry is with us. He's president and CEO of Open Doors USA. We are just beginning to scratch the surface on this issue. And I do want to make our listeners aware on how they can obtain this watch list, because I look at the clock where there's no way we're going to get through this in any kind of meaningful way to really delve down into it. But your watch list is there where our listeners can download it. How can they do so?
They can go to our website, opendoorsusa.org. And what it's going to do is, you have the list, you have the data available for researchers. All the data is available, but most people would just want to see, what are the drivers within these particular countries? Maybe God has laid a region or a country or a people group on your heart. You can find all that. I think even more importantly, perhaps, than the data is the stories and the videos behind it. Videos that I took, for example, on my trip to China, where we show the cameras or talk a bit about the pressure that the Chinese church is under. So lots of things that really bring, I think, the human element to the numbers that are in the data.
Now, you again, folks, that's opendoorsusa.org. Look for that World Watch List. And what's so nice about this list is you're able to download this, and each country has its own page where you can actually get facts about that nation. You get a handle on about how many believers are there, and prayer points for each one of those countries. So, David, in essence, with this, one person could download one per day or one a week and focus in on that country in their prayer time as well.
Absolutely. I've had many people say that that's how they use it. I would love to see every church in America praying weekly for those people and countries on this list. I think it's a great thing to do.
Now, over 100 million Christians in China, you mentioned earlier, and I saw in one of your reports here, you indicate that there are actually more Christians in China than members of the Communist Party. Is that really accurate?
Absolutely. There's somewhere around 90 million members of the Communist Party. I think it's fair to say that maybe not all of those communist members are as enthusiastic as maybe the leaders are, because there's great pressure to be part of the Communist Party. But you can be sure that those 100 million Christians are passionate about their faith, because there's great cost associated with it. So I think this is one of the issues driving the surveillance of the church. The Chinese Communist Party obviously is putting a lot of pressure on any expression. I think they're moving back to that Soviet system that we talked about earlier, where there is no God. They're pressuring Muslim groups in the Northwest, as we talked about. But there's only a handful, a few million of Muslims in the country. But they're not going to be able to round up and put into concentration camps all the Christians. So how to do it? And I think this is the pressure and the roadmap that's being developed here to pressure the church, is because there's so many of them, and they want them to be forced into this communist system. Mm-hmm. And so there you have it.
There's so much more that can be said. Just that we could do a whole program on China alone. But David, I understand that even Christian funerals are now under attack, with the prohibition against religious themed funerals, even stopping ceremonies mid-service and arresting family members.
There are so many things like this that are popping up, where churches, individuals, Christians who want to practice their faith publicly, anybody who wants to meet in any significant group size, 40, 50 people, is going to be monitored and watched. I experienced it personally when I was there in the middle of December, where everywhere I went that had any sort of Christian gathering was monitored. Anytime I tried to record, being recorded, there were, you know, monitors or, you know, policemen who would come up and try to take the camera away or tell us to put it down. So you're being watched all the time. You're being pressured all the time. I have no problem believing that if there was a Christian funeral that had any significant attendance, that the communist government would try to shut it down.
Well, even with all that's happening in China, it still doesn't measure to the level of persecution that's happening in North Korea. It's your number one country in the list, the worst country for Christians, and it's been that number one spot for several years. Tell us what's happening in North Korea.
Well, what North Korea has in common with China is a communist system, and they have carried forward the Soviet system for some, you know, decades now. The government has used old-school systems of monitoring neighborhood watches. They don't have the technical sophistication that China has right now, although that certainly may be coming. They're partners with them in many ways. But the North Korean system is extreme. You have great hunger. The government has considered Christians the number one enemy of the state, so they're last to get food. You can be arrested for anything related to Christian faith, having a Bible, talking about Christianity. Being suspected of being a Christian really is probably enough to get you arrested and put into a labor camp in many cases. So North Korea is very extreme in every way. It's very difficult for many of the citizens. It just so happens that Christians are the ones that are considered the enemy of the state, the number one enemy of the state, and so thus get the least amount of food, the first to go to prison, and many of them die there.
Is there any way to measure how many Christians are in North Korea?
Well, that's the shocking thing. We know that there are somewhere around 500,000 Christians in North Korea, but there's much that we can't document. We don't know how many people pass away in these labor camps. Hmm. We don't know exactly how many there are. We suspect there's somewhere between 60,000 and maybe as many as 80,000 in labor camps for their faith. We know where the labor camps are. The UN knows where these labor camps are. One of the things we've asked about is it possible in these nuclear discussions to talk about some of these human rights mm-hmm. so that we can get some insight into what the conditions are in these camps. What we know from the UN and from elsewhere and from our sources, these are extremely inhumane places. So that's why North Korea is at the top. Even with all of the opaque nature of information in North Korea, what we know is enough to make it number one.
You mentioned that the Christian community is significant in North Korea, but deeply underground. When you use those terms, deeply underground, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, you can't really share your faith with anybody. I've talked to many North Korean believers who, when they talk about sharing their faith with the children, this is a great act of courage. Let me give you an example of why that might be. You might have young children who you want to have a personal faith with Jesus.
Yeah.
But the reality is when they go to school or to any sort of public gathering, they may be bribed with food. These kids would be hungry. They would not understand the nature of what might happen to their parents. And they would say, hey, if your mom or dad have a Bible, we'll give you some extra food. We'll give you an extra chicken. And don't worry, nothing will happen. Well, yeah, mom has a Bible. And then, of course, mom is taken to labor camp and never seen again.
My.
This happens over and over and over again. So what it means is when we say deeply underground, you're going to be very careful about telling even your children. Now,
wow.
Of course, many people will, or they'll wait until they're to an age where they understand, the gravity of what it is, and they'll share their faith in that thing. But it's one to one. It's done counting the cost and in great danger.
Friends, as the Open Doors has learned that Christians there, they're being starved, they're being beaten, they're being abused, some on the verge of death for things, David, we take for granted, owning a Bible, being a Christian, talking about our faith. These are forbidden things, but has grave consequences to those who will do such things.
It's really deepened my love of Scripture to be so close to and talk to these persecuted believers for whom Scripture is so precious.
Yeah.
Here, I've got my phone that has a Bible. My iPad has a Bible. I have several Bibles at home, at work, whatever. I'm sure many people who would be listening would be the same. And, you know, you forget what a dangerous book this is to many dictators around the world, to many political systems. the freedom that is mentioned in the gospel, the value of an individual that's raised up in the biblical text. These kinds of things which are not welcome in many places around the world. So it really makes you treasure it when you know how precious these Bibles are in North Korea. Read your scripture, enjoy it, ponder it, always be thankful, never take it for granted.
And scripture memory, too, to hide God's word in our heart that can never be taken away.
Absolutely. That's a big part of it, isn't
yeah.
it?
Well, folks, we've mentioned two. They have focused on 50 countries. We're going to look at some other nations. David, in your report, you mentioned that Christianity is on the verge of disappearing in Iraq and Syria. That's pretty alarming.
Well, Iraq, the issue is obviously a massive migration of people who have been faced with any number of issues, wars, and then this issue in the past couple of years with ISIS, where you have somewhere around a million some people who have left, Christians who have left that country, leaving less than 200,000 by some estimates Christians in the country of Iraq. So the church there is a strong church. It's a faithful church, but it is greatly diminished in the last handful of years.
Algeria has moved up five spots.
There's a big pressure on the underground church in Algeria. Churches have been attacked and shut down there. There's been a cracking down. The Algerian church, I've met with some Algerian pastors last year in North Africa. These people are passionate about their faith. They're very lovely people. And in order to meet with me, for example, they had to go through extreme measures not to be followed, the secret police. So Algeria is getting to be a very tough place again. First season there, it was an opening up. It's number 17 on our list right now. But this is a church that is very significant in that region in North Africa. And I think and pray for these folks all the time, partly due to some of the personal nature of my interaction with them. But I just am deeply touched by their faithfulness and their love for Jesus.
And friends, as you take a look at the World Watch List here, even for the current year, a number of countries that remain on that list in the top 10 spots and others joining them into the top 50, but North Korea number one, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Eritrea, Sudan, Yemen, Iran, and India in those top 10. Some other things I just want to note is that I see that Morocco jumped nine spots from number 35 in 2019 to number 26 in 2020.
Yes, the church in Morocco is another one of these. It's so much difficult on this list. Let me talk just for a second about the strength of the small group movement in Morocco, which I think is significant. It's meant that there's growing pressure in Morocco on the church, but wherever you see the church getting into small group movements where they're in faith together, I think it's a beautiful thing, and we certainly see that in Morocco. That's a lesson for us, too, is to stay small, stay connected in community.
Wow. Quick break here, folks. I'm going to have a few more questions here I'd like to ask of our guest. We will be opening phone lines as you perhaps are burdened for a particular country or have questions about the state of Christian persecution worldwide. So be standing by your phones. We'll get to those here as well soon. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Do you take time daily to study the Word of God? Do you go through the Bible systematically and read with comprehension? Do you desire to learn more than what you have in the past? VCY America is offering a package set of four books by Ron Rhodes from Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. These Bible study books provide a systematic approach to help you gain better understanding of the Bible. Included in this set is 90 Days Through the New Testament in Chronological Order, providing overviews, powerful insights, and personal application. 40 Days Through Genesis, discover the story that started it all. 40 Days Through Daniel, revealing God's plan for the future. And 40 Days Through Revelation, uncovering the mystery of the end times. These four books are available as our way of saying thank you for your donation of $49 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. Don't let the lack of a Bible study plan keep you from daily devotions. Call 1-800-729-9829.
David Curry is our guest today. We're talking about the World Watch List for 2020, and we'd like to encourage you to download this watch list and be in prayer. We'll talk about prayer more this segment here, but go to the website opendoorsusa.org, opendoorsusa.org. It is a tremendous tool to utilize as you gather together nightly as a family, sitting around the dinner table or having a time of personal family devotions together to actually review a country each day or each week and talk about that country and be praying for them. Each page has a specific prayer request for that nation in particular. David, again, folks, that's opendoorsusa.org. I notice also a significant jump in Sri Lanka, moving from number 46 of last year to number 30 in this year. Tell us what's happening in Sri Lanka.
Well, Sri Lanka, like a lot of Southeast Asia, has seen a spread of Islamic extremism, other types of extremism, Hindu, and in some cases Buddhist extremism. But Sri Lanka, in Easter of last year, there was an attack on some churches in Sri Lanka. Many people will remember 250 people killed on Easter Sunday. And so this is one of the issues that's driven Sri Lanka up on the list, the violence there on Easter and other parts. So it's an area of concern. Some of these countries that have previously been relatively safe for Christians to attend church, now you have these rogue actors or indeed in some cases, groups associated with ISIS or Al-Qaeda, mm-hmm. attacking churches, these soft targets where people are gathering to worship.
I see that Ethiopia declined 11 spots. Are things getting better there, or are they just worse in other areas?
It's really more about what's going on elsewhere. In almost all the cases, there's been a significant rise in the regions. Ethiopia kind of fluctuates a bit. Obviously, there's some areas where there's a lot of freedom there. The church is strong there, and there are parts that are safe. But certainly, there's been issues there in Ethiopia.
What is your motive for this list toward believers here in the States? How can we get involved? It seems like an impossible task when we see what is taking place in these nations. What can believers in the States do?
Well, certainly our first cause is to help motivate and to inspire the church here in the West to care and to pray for their brothers and sisters in Christ. This idea, which is elucidated in Scripture, that we're to pray for people who are in chains for the name of Jesus as if it were our own family, that's, I think, a universal calling. It's not for some and not for others. Mm-hmm. It's for us. And within these stories, I know it can be hard to try to get into it because it seems like it's just like every other bit of bad news. But there's an inspiration in this, the people and the way they're exhibiting their faith that can, I think, inspire our faith, encourage us. These are heroes in many cases of the faith, modern-day heroes, but also things we can learn. And so I encourage people that there's so much here that will I think, deepen your faith, that it's a valuable thing to go through. But I think also to try to give people some statistical idea, there's much more persecution than we're going to be able to report because we just don't have the researchers and the data to prove everything that we know is going on. But what you can see is bad enough, and I think it gives people an idea of what's happening around the world so that we can be mobilized to help and to care. Because let's face it, the media covers this when it's convenient for them, when it's cross-referenced with a region of the world that has oil or that they're interested in or some other subject. But they're not covering Christian persecution, and our expectation should be that we're not going to always get the true story on what's happening, because people are frankly opposed to Christianity. They don't have a motive to report it in many cases. So it's up to us to find out what's happening with our family and what can we do to help.
Friends, the website again, opendoorsusa.org, opendoorsusa.org. If you do not have internet access, you can contact Open Doors International. Their number is 1-888-5-BIBLE-5. That's 1-888-5-BIBLE-5. 5. We'd like to open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We'll take your questions today, perhaps a brief comment on this area of Christian persecution as it's really exploding worldwide in so many different ways. But we'd like to hear from you today at 800-733-9829. David, when you talk about praying for the persecuted believers or persecuted church, just put that into words. How can we best pray for them?
Well, I think the more personal, the better. And that's why we provide so much information on our website about these individuals who are going through it. We talked a little bit about this family who's lost their husband last week, pastor, 9 children and a wife, to know their story, to see his face, to pray for them. I think, you know, this is where it gets real. Mm-hmm. But I also think that we understand through Scripture that God moves in regions, in areas, and territories. And to know that God is stirring your heart for Asia, or if he's stirring your heart for North Korea, that we pray specifically for the persecutors. This is an unusual thing. It's a Christian thing to do, is to pray that God will have some Saul to Paul conversions amongst ISIS, amongst Islamic extremists, amongst dictators. These things can happen. To pray for these things, to pray for the individual people, to pray for boldness. We can stop persecution theoretically if we just stop talking about Jesus, but I'm not going to do that. You're not going to do that. So we know persecution is going to grow. It's really about how do we help the church first to survive, sustain, to stand strong, and then to thrive over time. And it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes the church is isolated, cut off, and it shrivels up. But in some cases, when the church stays in community, stays based in Scripture, and we're able to see it grow under pressure, and it can be an amazing thing.
For instance, folks, each day and each country has specific prayer requests. I just open it up. Here's number 13, Saudi Arabia. 3 prayer points, and we'll go to the phone lines then. Number 1, pray for isolated believers all over Saudi Arabia who lack fellowship and community. They need discipleship and a sense of belonging. Number 2, pray Christian Saudis will find ways to share the truth with their own family members. And number 3, it is forbidden to openly practice religions other than Islam. Conversion is punishable by death. Please pray Muslim Saudis will come to know Jesus. So there are specific prayer points. You'll learn about the population, approximately how many believers are there, what is the main religion of the country, what is the government type there, who is the leader, and ways that you can be praying for these nations, a very effective tool in remembering them who are in bonds as being in bonds with them. That's what Hebrews talks about. Let's go to the phone lines today. Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We're going to begin in Somerset, Kentucky. We have Roger calling, and Roger, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I don't want to make it sound like, you know, people deserve to be persecuted. I don't think that at all. I'm just wondering, how many of these people are actually Bible-believing Christians that are being persecuted? How many are Catholics and Orthodox and Mormons and such?
It's a good question. Here's what we're documenting is people who are being persecuted for their Christian faith. There are some places where the church has become institutionalized, and that's not universally true everywhere, but you will often see where that happens, that church is revived. There becomes revival in even the most ancient of churches. And so our charge, you might say, is to document what's happening, to see what's happening, and then also to try to bring about a sense of a renewal through all of this. And so that's one of the ways ministry is happening in persecution itself.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
Phil in Mitchell, South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yes, I understand that you put Canada on your watch list. Is that true?
No.
No, it's not.
No.
Because I heard that Christians are really under the gun in Canada.
Any comments on Canada? They're not on your top 50 list by any means.
No, I don't know whether or not this is a serious question, but let me address this issue of a sense of pressure here in the West, intolerance towards Christian faith. I think that's real. Mm-hmm. You can see signs of it in many, many places. I don't think any persecution that people are facing here in the West in any way compares. We certainly look at what's happening. There have been bombings in France on churches in the past and in other Western European countries that make you certainly wonder whether extremist groups will target churches in Canada or the U.S. or in elsewhere in Western Europe. These are issues we will certainly monitor and so forth, but Canada is nowhere near our list.
Thank you for the call here. Let's go next to Arlene in Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air, Arlene. Hello, Arlene. Arlene, you're on the air.
Thank you. Is there any data on whether the church shootings in America is mostly in the gospel-teaching, Bible-believing churches as opposed to the nickel and nose feel-good churches?
No, I don't have any data surrounding that. It's an interesting perspective. What we do know, though, is around the world, there's nearly 9,500 churches or buildings, church buildings that have been attacked. This is a major issue, and it's one of those things that is pretty common around the world because churches, while they should be sacred places, places where people can go safely and talk and share and read the Bible and decide for themselves what they think about it, oftentimes the extremists will see this as an easy target. Now, here in this country, we don't see that very often, fortunately. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, that'll remain the case. In some countries, for example, there's an area along the Somali border that I visited not too many years ago that had many, many attacks on it, and the government had to protect it, these churches, with their army. Unfortunately, it was sort of very poorly done. They'd have one soldier with a gun, and they only allowed church to be open for 90 minutes a week because it was just so difficult to protect these Christians. So it's one of the things we ask of governments around the world is, will you make a commitment to protecting the freedom of religious expression in Nigeria, in Kenya, these places where they can so easily be attacked?
So, caller, again, what you have seen here in the United States, as tragic as some of these events have been, it in no way compares to the level of persecution that's happening in these nations around the world. And if that doesn't open our eyes, I don't know what it's going to take, because certainly we need to know what is going on in these countries, and this World Watch List documents those very aspects. We're going to take a quick break. We do have some open phone lines here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Continuing our series on the dangers of discourse or dialogue with cultural Marxists, it's fine to debate them, but if you have a discourse or dialogue, you're trying to merge your worldview with theirs, and that will dilute your worldview. Well, when you do this, you're falling into trap number 7. You're agreeing to put yourself into the cultural Marxist arena of conflict and to be marginalized and characterized and compromised. Now, you can see this happen right in front of your face on social media. Someone expresses a biblical worldview, a conservative idea, and what happens? People all around them start attacking them. They find themselves being marginalized, characterized, and sadly, many of them will compromise. They'll be involved in compromise by being silent and backing down, or simply going along with the group to fit in. But how did this whole psychological process get started? By agreeing to be involved in some kind of discourse or dialogue with the cultural Marxist, and you set yourself up.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about Christian persecution worldwide. The World Watch List for 2020 has been released. David Curry is with us today. He's president and CEO of Open Doors USA and their website, opendoorsusa.org, opendoorsusa.org. Our next caller is Kathy. Kathy, you're on the air.
Thank you. Years ago, I read God's Smuggler. I stayed up all night reading the thing. It was fascinating. About Brother Andrew. My question is, do you suppose there is some way that the Chinese authorities will link this virus to the Christians, and how should we pray?
Thank you for that question. I don't know. I wouldn't put them above any sort of a tactic like that. I think right now, obviously, they're just trying to get their hands around it. But certainly the Christians have nothing to do with it. One of the things, though, that I failed to talk about, Kathy, is how the Chinese government is selling this technology to other governments, such as Iran and others. That's part of why I'm so concerned about what's happening there.
Right.
But how to pray for China is a great question. I think we need to pray for this. A mature church in many ways. It's a big church. This is causing it to go back to its roots. Churches are getting smaller. They're being forced to break up, basically. So I think you pray for that. Pray for these ethnic minorities who are following Jesus in these Muslim communities. They're doubly persecuted. And we want the church to be strong there, to be part of everyday life. And I certainly pray for the leaders there, because China had opened up for a great deal of time here for the last several years. And the church was prospering in a sense. And so we'd like to see that sort of freedom of religious expression in China once again.
Kathy, thanks for the call. We're going next to Charles. Charles, you're on the air.
Hello. I'm calling in regards to your topic today. I financially support, and I support with a prayer team, a lady named Lynn Kennedy, who has started a ministry called Shattering Darkness. It's in Burkina Faso, Africa. And things got so bad there, the State Department has brought her back to the States. They could not guarantee that she wouldn't be killed. So she is now running the ministry from... She's staying at a missionary house at a church in Fayetteville, Georgia, one of the sponsoring churches. But that's how bad things are there. And this woman has done incredible work.
Oh, we praise the Lord for that, Charles. And Burkina Faso is an area, David, that you've got grave concern as to not having appeared on the list in years past, but all of a sudden, there it is this year.
That's right. And that we had talked about it's being attacked up there in the northeastern region of the country by Boko Haram and other extremist groups. The government has been very ineffectual dealing with it, doesn't seem to be willing to protect the Christian churches in that region. There's over 5 million Christians there. It's definitely something we need to be praying against, these Islamic ideologies that are sweeping across the country. So let's lift that up.
Great. Thank you, Charles. And thank the Lord for other individuals, too, that are involved in ministry in that regard. Let's go to Karen in Hartford. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I heard, I believe it was yesterday on the news, that a minister was arrested in Tanzania. Apparently there was a, can't even think of the term, but do you know anything about that? Apparently he was handing something out and there was a stampede and there were deaths involved. Are you aware of?
I'm not aware of this particular incident at this moment. I'm so sorry. I can't give you more information on that.
Thank you so much for the call here. Calvin in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
To tell your guests, I appreciate what he's doing. I know that we don't have as much of a burden since we don't actually see the people over in other countries. And I'm familiar. I received the publication Voice of the Martyrs. And also they have a Commit to Pray. And, of course, I've encourage my church to pray and also to give for the Voice of the Martyrs also. But what I'm wondering is he associated with with that group. I know that was Richard Wormbrand's son.
Okay.
That,
tell you what, we'll have him comment on that issue. David?
We are very appreciative of Voice of the Martyrs, and we have done some work together in the field. It's a different organization. Brother Andrew and Mr. Wormbrand started about the same time, so a great organization. This is one of those things. I would, as I said earlier, love to see every church talking about this every Sunday. Yeah. Ministries focused on how they can help. There's so much to do here. We're just grateful for Voice of the Martyrs and other groups like Open Doors that are doing the task with persecuted believers.
Great. Thank you, Kelvin, for the call. We have just a minute and a half left, and one of the things that we find from Open Doors USA is just a wonderful information tool through the World Watch List, and that's put out each year that keeps you informed on these nations, what is going on. They are ranked as far as they monitor the levels of persecution taking place there. They give you information about the country itself, and then a specific prayer points. But all through the year, David, you also are monitoring, and when stories come to light, you're telling those stories through Open Doors USA and through email alerts and so forth.
Absolutely, and we have an app, Pray for the Persecuted. It's just prayer requests and prayer answers to prayer that people can download on any platform that keeps them up to date on stuff.
Great. And as far as the area of persecution, I know your heart is burdened, and certainly what we need to do is see more believers across this nation, around the world, that are burdened to be praying for those who are going through such times of great difficulty.
Absolutely. Let's do that. Let's pray together and keep that as a daily thing. And we're so grateful for you and your audience, Jim, that care about this subject.
David, thank you so much for being with us today.
Blessings to you. Bye-bye.
David Curry of Open Doors USA. Again, folks, their website is opendoorsusa.org, opendoorsusa.org. They are ministering to the persecuted church. You can be involved. Certainly, you can learn more about the organization through their website. You can be praying, download the specific request, download the World Watch List, and commit each day or each week or each month, be praying for another country here, and stay informed on the critical issues. If you don't have access to the internet, you can contact Open Doors at 1-888-5-BIBLE-5. That's 1-888-5-BIBLE-5. And again, we do remind you to keep in prayer those who are in bonds as being in bonds with them. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.